Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to Transforming Trauma, a space for survivors of childhood sexual abuse to receive support and resources and share their stories. Transforming Trauma is about freedom, healing, connection, and even laughter and fun. And most importantly, it's about letting go of the pain of abuse and finally moving on. I'm your host, Eve, and I'm very excited to have you here with me and my guest, Angela, who will be sharing with us about holistic therapies that have been helpful in her recovery. And I just wanted to say that I discovered Angela and her work because she's on our team of incredible volunteers who share their hearts and passion with an online community of 5,000 plus survivors all looking for connection and resources. And Angela has been speaking out and writing, publishing, coaching, and it's hard to know where to begin. So let me tell you a little bit about her background before she takes it away. Angela is a survivor leader, speaker, and teacher of mindfulness tools for interrupting patterns of trauma, vicarious trauma, too. She loves to help people take charge of their mental and emotional well-being. As a recovery coach, she teaches techniques helping rebuild confidence, reclaim one's voice, and define what's next for their personal and professional development. She's a member of the National Survivor Network for Human Trafficking, an ambassador for Peaceful Heart Network, an advocate for Freya Support. That's www.freyasupport. She has her own TED Talk, What to Do After Me Too. And she also wrote The Other F Word, her handbook on forgiveness, which I just love. Angela enjoys dancing, singing, hiking, adventures in the wild, and she loves life and wants other survivors to know that they can thrive too. So welcome, Angela. Thanks so much for sharing your evening with us. How are you doing?
I am great. Thank you so much, Eve. This is a pleasure to always, in my world, I love to talk about recovery because to me, that's what helped me so much for so many years is always have the hope. I listened to other people who were further along recovery than I was, and I watched what they did, and I wanted to, you know, experience more hope and more joy in life, and that's how come I kept moving forward. So it's a pleasure and an honor to be here and to be part of the Healing from Sexual Abuse group as a comment moderator. I love being part of such a huge community. We have such a diverse texture of people in there, and it's such a joy to watch them grow and to see them get supported by each other. That's just a beautiful thing to witness. I'm really grateful to Rachel for starting that group, and that I was able to
come in. I'm so glad you
and
mentioned that. It's
really
be part
extraordinary
of that.
what goes on there every day. I think
It
social
really
media
is.
technology can be used to create such harm and disaster in people's lives, and then we get to see every day the power it has to really change people's lives and the way that they see themselves and the hope that it offers. So I'm so glad that we've connected through that community and that work, and clearly find a lot of just that it's very worthwhile to see the impact that you can have simply on being supportive and offering community to people. So I wanted to ask, just to start off, like what's something that's been a source of inspiration for you lately?
I have been watching TED Talks for many, many, many years. And Brené Brown recently did another one she did one at South by Southwest, which isn't a TED program, but it's so Brené Brown is I first learned about her on TED. And so if somebody listening hasn't even seen Brené Brown on TED.com, seek that out, because I love every time she talks, there's such a richness to what she has to say that it always inspires me. But there's so many, like TED.com is so prolific for having all sorts of inspiring speakers. I think that when I think back, if I go back in time, the whole part of my recovery, so I'm 50 years old now, and since my first stepped foot in a therapist office at the age of 22, and I think all through that time, it took a solid 20 years, I was just developing a strong sense of myself. And that's the biggest thing, I think, that we see people, having all these breakthroughs in the community. And it's because they realize they get choices in places where they didn't realize they had choices before. Or they learn something new about themselves and they are brave enough to reach out and ask for help in the space of strangers that that they're never probably going to know in person. We're all just connected via the web. That braveness is also that, stretching our courage like that really does give us a strong sense of self. And so with that, one of the biggest things that I get asked when I'm comment moderating is about different healing modalities, because I'm very open about many of the things that I did during my recovery, which are a little bit outside the box. But that's where my interests were already, and so it was easy to apply it to the work of recovering from my repressed memories of childhood sexual abuse and trafficking, child sex trafficking.
Wow!
So with
so 22, and now you're 50. So you have a lot of wisdom and life experience to share. I don't know how we're gonna get to it, but I wanted to first echo Brené Brown, celebrity social worker, definitely one of my sheroes, so I'll have to check out her new TED Talk. And you also mentioned the courage it takes to do this work of healing, and I think that so many of us come from families or communities where the abuse and trauma is minimized, and we so rarely get the kind of credit of how hard the work can be and how much time it can take and energetic investment, and a lot of times people, there's so many different modalities and types of treatment, and it can take a long time to even find a clinician or a provider who you can afford or you click with. So it's really, I think you said in your TED Talk, you wish it were just six sessions and then you could be done, but it's a road. And I'd love to hear like what have been some of the most helpful tools for you in your healing.
All right. Well, I'm a big advocate of breath work, and just learning to take a deep, long breath was my first experience. I was a very shallow breather for many years, and so I learned that. But then I also did the kind of breath work that takes you into an altered state, or kind of an out of body state. And that's not necessary. I found it to be blissful and really, really happy, really happy place. But just learning to really do that really deep breathing where you really empty your lungs out each time, and your exhale can be a little bit longer than your inhale, and that really helps with the parasympathetic nervous system.
So our breath is critical. That's one of the first things that I love to share with people.
Is there a name for this work that we can look up afterwards? I've heard it, different types of belly breath techniques or pranayama breathing. Is there like a type of breathing that you subscribe to?
I've done all so many different kinds, and I just label it all breath work. I think that Rachel has some breath work links to different types of breath work on her resource page.
Great.
But yeah. I've experimented with a lot of different, you know, like the equal number of counts on the inhale versus the exhale. And that's helpful too. One of the things that somebody taught me a long time ago was to, you know, when we're on the exhale, just to lean over. We think we've expelled all of our air, but if we just curl over, curl forward a little bit, then we'll really empty out even more of that belly breath. And that, and then when we rise up and we come back up on that inhale, then we can feel our lungs just, you know, filling up again. And so sometimes when we move our body, when we breathe, that's helpful too. But
Oh, that's okay. No, even just being able to Google breath work and trauma, like so many things come up, and certainly I will link to Rachel's resources in the show notes.
Yeah.
But just as we're talking about this, of course, it brings awareness to my breath, and I am guilty for sure of being a shallow breather. And it's so interesting to think about kind of like from an evolutionary standpoint, just like think about when you're like scared or really cold and right. how your breath changes, and how when you're relaxed and you're in a peaceful state at the beach or wherever your calm place is, how you can notice that your breath is different. So how to bring an intention and an awareness around that. So that can be like a tool when you're feeling stressed and when you're feeling, you know, when you're in fear mode.
Yep, absolutely. Just paying attention to that can interrupt our fear response or our stress response. And that back into our body too, when, you know, because when we're in a stress response, we oftentimes just kind of separate, we float away from our body. And so it brings us back into our body, and we can feel our feet on the ground again, and we can feel our hands, and we're just in a more aware space. So that can be life-changing, that in and of itself. But if I had my way, I would want everybody to also do, in addition to a little bit of talk therapy, because I think, you know, that sometimes we just need that witness to hear our story. It could be a peer support. It doesn't have to be a professional. If you have a really good peer-trained, active listening peer support, that is just as valuable. So I also think about when I talk about these things, we have a lot of members that are in rural areas that are, their access to care is just completely different than what we might have in, you know, a city of 10, 15, 20,000 and more. And so in those rural areas, sometimes we have to get really creative, and we have to do it ourselves, or find a friend that is willing to try some art therapy with us. So the art therapy I did, somebody just mentioned it last week in the group that they had gone and done this and they found it really valuable. So we take the non-dominant hand, for me, that's my left hand, and we write a letter, or just write down our emotions that we're feeling. And then we do some art therapy. And then with our right hand, we do another letter after the art, and it just talking about the art and what it means to us and what we see in it. And I still do that. I learned it first at a therapist's office, and I did it after the sessions frequently, but I still do that on my own. If I just want to get in touch with some emotion or some aspect of something that I'm struggling with. So I think art therapy is really huge. Using our hands, using our senses, anytime we can engage those senses is helpful. Trauma yoga is one thing. And another way that it's, I think therapeutic yoga is another way that it's labeled. But it's yoga that's specific to people who have some trauma history. So it's a little bit different than the regular yoga class you're going to go to. And I found it to be incredible. I'd been doing yoga for a number of years, And I was kind of skeptical that it was really going to offer me much of anything different, but I actually found it to be very helpful. And so I really love trauma yoga.
Yes. Oh my God. You're mentioning so many great things. And I love your emphasis on kind of creative ways that people can access healing. Like, it's amazing. I even forget, I'm a millennial, what you can find on YouTube. There's so many like trauma informed yoga videos and just stuff you can Google, and also kind of starting your own support group or finding a safe person to do art with, finding a way to connect to your senses and in nature and know that there are ways to discover healing like on your own without a paid professional if that's not available to you.
That's right. Yeah. And I thank you for pointing out the YouTube videos. There are a few of them on the web. Yes. That are trauma informed. And you know, the other class that I went to when the trauma yoga wasn't active for me was just a gentle yoga class. I was the youngest person in the class. I loved it. And I was with all of these older people that, you know, like we're all confident with our, and comfortable, not confident necessarily, but comfortable in our bodies. And who cares what we look like doing yoga, right?
Right.
That was a beautiful experience. I loved my gentle yoga class, and you know, that particular group of people became very special to me. I think that it's important that we engage our body in our healing, because so much of that trauma is embedded. I found that it was very much embedded in my body, and the more that I moved my body and tried these different therapies with the intention of having it leave my body, the more that I was freed up from some chronic pain that I had, joint pain and muscle pain, and that just helped me feel like I was really leaving it behind in the past rather than carrying it with me anymore. I've been a fan of acupuncture for long before I started working on it in regard to trauma too, because acupuncture was what helped me move back into my body. Because my trauma had been so severe for like probably 20 years, 25 years by the time I went into yoga, or I mean, I'm sorry, acupuncture, I didn't live in my body. And that meant, you know, like the yoga acupuncture person or the yoga person, I discovered both about the same time. And people, so practitioners of any kind, a doctor even, could ask me a question about my body, and I would say, I don't even know. I don't know how often I have a bowel movement. I don't know if I pee enough or if I drink enough. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I sleep enough. I just couldn't really answer their questions. So when I say that we don't live in our body, for me, that was it. I was very detached, and I wasn't aware if I had cycles of being hungry, or, you know, if I was hungry. I just was on autopilot, I guess. So in that space of acupuncture, it helped me come back into my body, but it also really helped me balance out my hormones. It helped me get rid of my migraine headaches that I had had for 25 years. I titrated off of some different medications that I took under the guidance of the acupuncturist, who would supplement with different herbs, and he would give me a list of foods to be sure to include in my diet during that phase. And I didn't have any trouble going off of my antidepressants. I was also on birth control to help regulate my hormones, and I didn't have any trouble going off of those things. So it was a really, I used to be somebody who just had a medicine cabinet full of pills because that's how the only way I could manage my life. So when I discovered all of these therapies, it really helped me take ownership of my body again and figure out different ways to manage some of my symptoms and actually get rid of them. So that's why I'm such a big advocate of this. But you talked about laughter, and laughter yoga is another thing that I've done. And laughter yoga, you can find those videos on YouTube also. And there's some exercises that you do when you're in with a guided instructor, but just the laughter part of it is so therapeutic and so healing. So again, YouTube is a great resource for helping you find things that can make you laugh. And then once you do that deep belly laugh, you know, so much tension leaves the body because it shifts our energy.
Yeah, that's really a good reminder. I was just kind of talking to Rachel about the film, I think it's Leaving Neverland, which I'll talk about in a future episode because it's been on my mind a lot, but just kind of the boundaries that she sets in her life, because a lot of survivors I've worked with are like how I've been in the past, where you can eat, breathe, and read about trauma because it's like you become on this mission and it is hard work and it can become really consuming. And I think that having boundaries about what you're consuming, what you're reading about, what you're listening to podcasts about, even as you're listening to this right now, just to recognize how much that impacts us. And so I bring this up just to remind myself too that making time for comedy and being really intentional about bringing joy and actively looking for opportunities throughout the day, and even in, you know, what I listen to, what music I hear, what pictures I look at, you know, what Instagram feeds I follow, that it all really matters. And there's nothing more healing than laughter, truly, and getting to experience more joy. And what you're saying really resonates about not being connected to your body. And I think it's all related, that if you're so in your trauma brain or in anxiety or worry or whatever it is, some people go into workaholic, you know, different ways of coping that take us out of our body. And I think that when you're laughing and when you're feeling joy, you're really present. And so it's just interesting to think about those connections when you think about the moments that you have the most peace or calm or joy, that you're not in worry mode or fear. So how do we cultivate more of that in our lives? And Angela, there's just so much more I want to ask you about forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's such a loaded topic. And I wanted to ask you about any myths about surviving trauma you wanted to dispel, but we'll have to cliff note and continue. So I guess I want to just wrap up for now by asking, you know, simply what does transforming trauma mean to you?
It means finding the tools and the resources that work for us, so that we can leave it behind and not carry it with us anymore. It's about moving forward and finding the things that bring us joy.
That's so lovely. Well, I love in your TED Talk how you talk about all the different ways of speaking out and writing and challenging the status quo. And you've just given me a lot of ideas tonight and energized me, and just want to thank you for sharing how you've been transforming trauma and how you're giving back. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. And remember, if you're listening and you want to connect with Angela, you can find her website, AngelaRayClark.com, and she has a contact form. Angela@AngelaRayClark.com is her email. So thank you for tuning in and joining us. Don't forget to visit rachelgrantcoaching.com to learn more about sexual abuse recovery coaching and explore all the resources on the site. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast. There's so much more to share. Have a good night.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.